Episode 218, What to Do When You Question Your Calling, with Dustin Lawley. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Well, hey guys, welcome to the podcast. I'm Carl. Thanks so much for being here. This is the definitive podcast for those who plan, create, and execute worship experiences at churches all over the world. I believe the worship experience is the journey that you take your audience on from parking lot to parking lot on a Sunday or on a weekend. You might be on your church's first impressions team, your worship team, your production team, your teaching team, communications. This is the podcast for you. If you touch the worship experience in any way, shape, or form, this is your home. You are our people. All right? So we have folks on the show that hit all of these areas. So we try to get interviews with folks that are going to help those teams, help people who plan, create, and execute worship experiences. And this week is no exception, as we're talking with the lead singer of the band Sanctus Real. My new friend Dustin Lawley will be joining me. Now, Dustin was a worship leader at a church. So there's the tie-in, there's the angle. I know we have several Christian music artists on the podcast, and I want you to know that these guys are worship leaders. They stand up every night at a concert experience and are leading worship, and a lot of them have started in churches or continue to serve as worship leaders in their churches week in and week out. So that's the connection with Christian music artists. Dustin was a worship leader for several years before joining the band Sanctus Real, and he continues as the lead singer of the band to lead worship to thousands of people through their songs and their concerts. So I'm talking with Dustin about how to handle those moments in your ministry when you question your calling, when you feel like giving up, when you don't know what God is doing. There was a time recently when the band, Sanctus Real, was struggling to know what was next, struggling to know if they were going to book more concerts, things like that. And it was out of this place that the song Confidence came. You might have heard it on radio. You'll hear more about it as the show goes along. And I can't wait to share this interview with you guys. You don't have to be a worship leader to connect with today's episode. If you've ever been at a place where you've questioned your calling, you will really resonate with what Dustin has to say in today's episode. So I want you to watch this 2 to 3 minute video with a little behind the scenes info about the song Confidence, which we're going to talk about more and how it ties into the topic of today's episode. And then we'll jump right into my time with Dustin. Okay, so watch this and then we'll go straight to the interview. Here we go.
Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. So I can face my giants with confidence.
Confidence is an extremely delicate thing. Some days, I wake up and believe. Like, really believe. I believe that we were called to continue, even when the easiest thing to do would have been to give up. I believed that God would lead us to the right person, that no amount of auditions could tell us if we were getting a partner and a friend, because that's what we really needed. Someone who could be more than a singer.
Yet belief in and of itself isn't enough. I mean, faith without works is dead, right? And early on, it seemed like there were roadblocks everywhere. I always knew it wouldn't be easy, but I would definitely say that our belief in this whole thing was very tested. Every time we moved a little bit forward, it kind of felt like we were forced to take 2 steps back. At least, that's how it seemed to me.
When I joined the band, I knew it was going to be tough. But my wife and I both felt this overwhelming calling to this ministry. Because that's exactly what this is. It's a ministry. I don't really think that anything worth pursuing in life will ever be easy. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't still pursue it. When we were writing the song Confidence, we were right at that point where the reality of our situation was just causing our beliefs to be shaken. And to be honest, that was our problem. Because our faith shouldn't be predicated on our situation. Situations change. Circumstances are fickle, but love doesn't change. Belief in our Father doesn't change. See, confidence is a prayer. It's a prayer to see the world selflessly. Not a prayer to be in the lion's den, but a prayer to have such unshakable faith in the kingdom of heaven that we are willing to go do dangerous things. Moses never made it to the promised land. He only was able to view it, but his hope was in God's plan for God's people, a plan that he contributed to, but he knew it was so much bigger than himself. Confidence is a prayer to see this big picture, to walk humbly, to do what you feel he called you to do. The truth is, real confidence comes from real belief. Belief in a creator that does see this big picture, who does call the unqualified to do unimaginably big things.
So I can face my giants with confidence.
We believe this is only the beginning of living out our calling with confidence.
Hey guys, Ohio-based band Sanctus Real has seen major success over their 23-year career. Grammy and Dove Award nominations and wins, 8 number one singles on Christian radio. Their brand new album, Unstoppable God, is available now. And today I welcome the lead singer of Sanctus Real, Dustin Lally. Dustin, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. So you are currently in Nashville. You just moved to Nashville a few months ago?
I did. We were my wife and I were trying to decide what we were going to do. And the thing that made it happen was her parents actually live down here, which is awesome because we've been down here so much and making a record. Yeah. It was like we move and I get to be home a lot more. And you're kind of taken care of when I'm gone. So it was kind of a no-brainer for us once we got into it. And thank God we did, because I'm going to tell you now, is she's about three, four months pregnant. And it's
awesome,
been
man. Congrats.
Huge help having her mom
here. Yeah, I bet. Do you guys have any other kids?
This will be our fourth.
Wow. Yeah. So free babysitting up in Nashville is going on right now.
For sure.
Now, are you from Michigan?
I am from Michigan. I was born in Detroit. If anybody that's listening to this from Michigan understands the difference of being born in Detroit and then saying you're from Detroit, because being born in Detroit is like the real deal.
right.
Being from Detroit means you've been born somewhere in the metro area, which could be about 45 minutes from. So anyway, that's a Michigan thing. They'll appreciate that.
A few years ago, I interviewed at a church in Novi, Michigan. Do you know where Novi is?
I lived right near Novi.
Oh, yeah. Did you? Did you? Yeah. So we said no to that church. So bless you for serving in the Detroit area, my friend. Nice. All right. So we have a lot of worship leaders on the podcast. And for many who may not know, we just talked about this a little bit, but you served for like 10 years as a worship leader in Michigan, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah. I was, it was a growth for me, even discovering, even getting to the point where I thought I was good enough to do worship leading took a little bit of time for me, because I grew up playing sports and I wasn't really involved or thought about music too much, although it came kind of naturally. But I got married at 21, and over time, people started saying, you know, you're pretty good at the worship leading thing, because I was doing it for a student ministry I was running, right? That's usually what happens. You have nobody, so somebody has to do it.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, you should do it for the main church. And it just kind of grew, and suddenly I found myself being a worship leader. And then pretty soon a church came and said, you know, would you mind coming in and leading for us? And it just kind of blossomed to the point where I was like, God, is this the calling? Is this what you're kind of looking for me to do? And then it just kind of kept going. He kept doing stuff that kept putting me in these positions, and pretty soon I was a full-time worship pastor and kind of kept at it for about 8 years.
Yeah.
Two different churches and kind of put other music aside because I just felt like this is what God wanted me to do. He obviously had some other plans that I was unaware of. But I love leading worship. I still miss it. We still do it sometimes, even as a band. I know Something Sanctus Real didn't used to do it a lot, but we find ourselves doing it a lot more because I say yes.
Right. Do you find yourself, as a lead singer of a band, do you find yourself as still a worship leader, even though it's maybe not a worship song?
Yeah.
But do you find that?
I think so. I don't, you know, I have a lot of people after a show say, I can tell you were a worship leader.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever really use it. I think lose that. And I think there's a part of me, you know, I never was a performer, and in this side of things, you have to perform some.
Right.
I think there's always this middle ground, because for our band, it's always going to be and always is about the message of what we're trying to get across.
Right.
And I think that's part of what worship leading is getting across. It's not just singing the song. It's getting across the importance of the message.
Right.
And a lot of times, even in our bands, that's the number one thing we do. And so, yes, I can't lose it completely. I love it. I miss it a lot of times. We've talked about it as a band that I just miss a Sunday morning. I miss the simplicity of leading worship. And someday I'll probably go back.
Nice. Okay. Well, I wanted to have you on the podcast as a worship leader and as now doing what you're doing now. You know what it's like, definitely, to go through the highs and the lows, especially over the last few years. I know your bandmate Chris has had some health issues recently. You lost a brother years ago. I mean, you definitely know the highs and lows. So tell me about your journey over the last maybe few years.
It's been crazy. I have to think about it for a second to really know where to start. You know, part of highs and lows are kind of how you view your life anyway. How to deal with them is kind of how you view life. You know, we've been through, my wife and I have been through a couple really dark church experiences. We've been through a loss of family members. We've seen the loss of income. And there are people who say, we don't even know how you still like churches or work in churches because of all the things that have happened through the years. I think many people can say that. But I think the reality is our perspective, man, has always been that God didn't call us to easy things. I think you provide more light in dark places than you do when you're in what you would determine as a good place. And I think for us, a lot of times, and maybe it's American ministry, but maybe it's just ministry as a whole, is we're still always striving to get to that good place, when the reality is you can be more Christ-like in a dark place because it shows more to people. I think for us, that's kind of been the motivating factor. Well, if this is where God needs us, then we'll be here. Yeah. That's not always easy. That's always very difficult.
Yeah.
And I will say, when my brother passed away, I was 24 and in kind of a shaky ministry position anyway. We were young, and I've never, you know, some people go through that kind of stuff and they question everything about God. For me, it was the opposite. I've never felt closer. It was almost like I could sense his presence in the situation. And it was almost as though through the tragedy, he became way more real to me. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not everybody's experience, and I don't expect it to be. But I've always, as a person, sense God more in the dark times than I do in the easy times. Maybe that's why I have so many dark times. I don't know.
He's drawing you closer.
Yeah.
So on your last album, you guys wrote a song called Confidence, and it really came out of kind of a dark place for you guys, really questioning maybe your purpose, your calling. And I want to get to some of that today. So I want you to speak to the worship leader, the pastor, the church staff member. I've been there where you're like questioning your calling and God, is this really what you're calling me to? Walk through maybe how you guys wrote the song and where you were at, you know, in your spiritual walk as you were writing it.
When I joined the band, our conversation together was a conversation of, we know this isn't going to be easy. Everyone was kind of telling us this isn't going to work. I was a nobody from Michigan in the music industry here in Nashville. It's very, very kind of insular. And it was like, you can't bring this guy in and expect him to take over for a band that's been around for a long time. And, but we really felt this calling, we'll use that word, that calling of, This is a ministry platform that can be used for really great things still. And so we felt it. We felt like one of the first conversations we had was, let's have a purpose. So we created a band purpose that had nothing to do with making good music. It was about who we wanted to be and how we wanted to represent Christ to people. Mm. You fast forward a couple years and you've been spinning your wheels and people seem to be right. And it's kind of a catch-22 because in this business, you need opportunity. But opportunity is granted by other people. And at some point, you're going, wow, is no one even going to give an opportunity for this kind of thing? God, where are you? Like, we felt called to this thing, and now it seems like nothing is working. And so we were making that record. We made it by ourselves. We didn't have a label. We didn't have help. It was our money. And we were kind of getting to that edge where all of that faith after 2 years – It was like a drink, right? And at some one point it's full, and then through the years it's kind of gone. And we were kind of at that edge. And in all transparency, there wasn't a lot of money coming in. So, you know, we were broke. And so my wife was amazing through this thing because she never lost faith at all. And we were in this situation broke. Not sure what was going to happen. Not sure if anyone would ever give us the opportunity. And we were sitting in a write with Chris, who's our guitar player, who has been having some issues recently. We were kind of looking at each other. And up to this point, no one had fully admitted that no one had come to each other and said, look, this isn't working. Like this is this. I've got to get another job, or I've got to do this because there's no money. There's no dates. We're not getting any songs out. And at that write, it came out. And we were all like, look, I don't know if I can write a song today because I'm like, my wife just called and we have no money. We have no money for groceries. It was that bad. And it was interesting in that day, we had another friend with us and even he was struggling. He's not even in the band. It's like God just kind of put this heaviness on us. And it was something unique that day because it wasn't just about the heaviness. We started having a conversation about perspective. And perspective to us is like the thing that I always try to go back to. It's like, how bad is bad? You know, because in this life, bad can be, hey, things aren't going well, or bad can be, I lost my brother, right? Yeah. Those are two very different things.
Right.
And we were looking at, I said, let's just look at Bible characters. Never done that before, by the way. And so we started looking at Old Testament Bible characters. I always say we went back to Sunday school. And we saw these guys who were in there, we think are men of faith for the reason, sometimes for the wrong reasons. I think Daniel, we say he had faith because of the lion's den, but it was actually his faith that led him to the lion's den. And his calling was doing the right thing every single day. And so we started thinking about calling, which is what we're talking about. And man, I just felt this impression, and we started talking about this thing that we think calling is the outcome. We think calling is the end result. Like God called us to be something great at the end. Right. And what we realized in that conversation, calling is what we're doing every single day, how we're living our lives. He's calling us to be something every day, every moment. Like Daniel, who literally did what was right, knowing that the end result may be him in a lion's den being eaten by lions. Or Moses, I'll use the characters in that song because we really did go there. Mm-hmm. Moses didn't make it to that promised land. His outcome he didn't get what he wanted, and yet he still did what he was supposed to do. And man, that was kind of our inspiration. Like, okay, if we're not going to see the outcome that we want, maybe we just put it in God's hands and just do what we feel like he called us to do. And we refocused back on the ministry part of it, back on the message part of it. And of course, God doing what he does, he took a song by guys who were not confident and he turned it into something that inspired confidence for people. And that's the calling. we gave it to him that day. We basically said, here's the outcome, give it to you. And then all of a sudden he took care of the outcome for us. So it's pretty amazing.
So speak to the worship leader, pastor. So I'm a worship leader. I'm not seeing the volunteers. I'm not seeing the worship leaders that I can groom up and lead worship. I'm not seeing the congregation respond like I want. I'm not seeing the numbers come into the church like I want. We're not seeing the tithe money come. Yeah. I mean, it goes on and on in church world. Speak to that. I'm not seeing the results that I want to see in my ministry.
Again, I think so often, and I've worked in churches for so long, and we have all these goals, right? And they're not a bad thing to have goals. We have our benchmarks. We have our things. And I think many of us think that when we get into calling, the calling is to hit those benchmarks. The calling is to fulfill those goals. And the reality is the calling is what you're doing every single day. Because in churches, we're looking at numbers a lot, and we're looking at things. And I'm not saying that that's wrong, but you might have an impact on somebody today that could change the world. Your conversation with one person today could lead to an outcome that you didn't expect in a great way. But we minimize those day-to-day moments many times because our big picture goals are not working effectively. The most success I've ever had in churches has been when I have focused on building relationships with people and kind of put the goals to a side. And honestly, I've seen the goals happen because when you inspire people, and I think a lot of this is when you show Jesus, you begin to inspire people. And people don't want to see, they don't need to see goals. They want to know that you care about them. And I think that's our calling. In ministry, we all have the same calling. Now how we do it might be different, but man, your calling's the same. Your calling is to love people. Your calling is to lead them to Christ. Your calling is to show Christ the way that he showed himself on earth. And I think that's a day-to-day process. And that's how you see those benchmarks happen. That's how you keep burnout away in a lot of ways. Yeah. Is that every day is new and every day is fresh and every day is a new day to fulfill your calling.
How does that relate to the comparison trap? God, I'm working just as hard as the pastor down the road, and they're seeing three times as many people as we are. I'm working just as hard here.
Yeah. I think the reality is, and I'll say something hard because I'm not in ministry right now, but I think there are things that we have to realize as human beings that we all have equal value across the board. Like my singing does not make me better than anybody else. Yeah. You have equal value regardless of how many people are in your church, regardless. And many times our pursuit of numbers or our comparison, honestly, is a value proposition that I want to be as worth it as that guy is. And that's not what we're called to. We're called to be servants. We're called to be, to wash people's feet. And some of the greatest people that I know are ones you've never heard of because they're doing the dirty work in cities like Detroit, in places that nobody's going to build a mega church in. But they're doing amazing stuff because every single day they're impacting somebody's lives. And the thing is, sometimes we don't impact lives the same way when we have thousands and thousands of followers because there's no personal relationship with those people.
Right.
So my question to those who struggle with the comparison game is, who do you want to be? Do you really think you need to be the guy who has the talent to write a book or give an amazing message? Or do you want to be the guy who maybe washes somebody's feet or talks somebody out of suicide or does the things that I think our world we minimize, but I think in heaven are the most important things. Mm-hmm.
What about this? What about, and then that writing session, you guys came out of that. It didn't go away automatically.
No.
You know, I'm sure it crops up every once in a while still. So how is it not a one and done kind of wash away? I'm going to trust in this moment. You know, how do you continue to be encouraged?
That is a wonderful question because it was still 3 months after that. The song hadn't come out and we actually ended up having a conversation that said, this is it. This is the end. And 2 weeks after that conversation, we started getting phone call after phone call and said, then we had to say, no, this isn't the end. This is it. Yeah. And every single time, hey, we got to a point where it was like, we can't do it. It was like God stepped in at the right time. And now that's our story. And the reality for other people is that you may not feel like God's stepping in at the right time. And I think this conversation, what I'm talking about, has to be more of a lifestyle than it is a checklist. Because you can't set goals to have a better outlook on life. The idea of living the calling every day is more living out your lifestyle than it is, I've got to pray in the morning and do this. It's got to be very fluid. And I think for me, the only way I've lived in ministry for the last 15 years, since I was 21 years old, has been, okay, this is what it is, and I'm going to try to be Christ in this situation. Now, we fail sometimes, obviously, but I think we are so, in our world, Christian world, many times, we're so caught up in doing what other people are doing that we're not just simplifying and doing what we're called to do. Because we're always trying to, and it's not a bad thing to glean from other people and to learn, but at some point, you have to live this life out, and you have to do it the best way that you know how, and you have to be led by Christ, just like everybody else does. And I think for those who are really kind of going through this up and down, up and down, up and down thing, I think perspective is a really massive thing for people to look at and to focus on, because it begins to change how you view everything in life. Failure is not failure. I mean, let's be honest. Failure is not failure. We look at failure in churches and say, well, that didn't go well. Well, the reality is that may not have gone well because maybe we didn't do something right, but tomorrow we have the perfect opportunity to learn from it and right. Do something else.
Right.
And, you know, again, it's a value proposition, because we put our self-worth into some of this stuff and then it doesn't go well and then we feel bad about ourselves. But you're worth the same as you were yesterday, failure or not. And once you get that, then you're not afraid to take risks. And risks change the world. Taking risks literally changed the world.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a day-to-day thing.
Well, as we wrap this kind of topic, and you might answer this the exact same way, but I'm going to ask you kind of point blank, how do we have confidence in our calling and ministry? How do we rest in our calling? And how do we, I guess as the song says, how do we face our giants with confidence?
Well, just do what the song says.
Right. I'm teeing you up.
Give us faith. Well, you know, it's funny, that song was never meant to be a chorus. It was meant to be a prayer. And we were praying kind of like, look at this. Maybe we should try to live our lives this way. And selfless. And I've actually heard criticisms of the song relating to it being just a prayer to be great. And the reality is the song's the opposite of that. We want to be like Daniel when he's doing the right thing before the outcome happens. We want to be like Moses, who sees the big picture even at the expense of himself. He didn't go to the promised land, but he led them right to the edge because he saw the big picture. David was a massive screw up, right? But he understood grace and mercy before anybody else did. All the characters and all the things that we were looking at were people who sacrificed because they saw the bigger picture. That was our prayer. Like, make it less about us so that we can face our day-to-day stuff with a confidence that we're reliant upon you rather than just trying to achieve our goal. And I think, you know, people who are struggling with that confidence, many of us are just trying to achieve goals. We're just trying to say, this is who I want to be. This is who I feel like God called me to be. I hear from people all the time, and we play shows, and people think they want to be singers, and they think they're called to be a singer, and they have no idea what it entails. And so when you come up against the wall, which everyone does, they go, well, I thought I was called to this. Like, well, you're not called to something. You're called to live this out every single day. Let God take care of the outcomes. Put faith in God for the outcome. And we're supposed to be selfless and live like Christ every single day. If we can make that our calling, we can succeed. When we make our calling to be like the megachurch pastor down the road,
right,
we're going to feel less and less about who we are, because that's not easy. And we don't even know how he got there half the time. And we think it's like you mentioned, that comparison game that will kill somebody, because even in a band that has you in our intro said Grammy nominations and double, there are way bigger bands. There are way more successful bands. And if we put our faith in our calling in God, you made us, you want us to be the biggest band, we'd constantly be second guessing our calling. We constantly wondering why we're not the next big thing. That's just not what calling is. Calling is trying to trying to live out Christ every single day.
You know, it's interesting in the church world. I've worked for mega churches, and it's interesting how, you know, people look at it as a comparison. Oh, the grass is much greener over there.
Yeah.
When in fact, the people on the grass over here are struggling just as hard or more as the people over here. And I think because some mega church pastors have fallen over the last few years, that's pretty evident that it's not necessarily what you seem or what it looks like over there. All right. Well, get us into your new album, Unstoppable God. Tell me about the songs and what you guys were writing for this album.
It's an album that's somewhat follows in the vein of confidence and in the reality. I think for us, though, this album, many of the songs are kind of looking back and celebrating that season, that difficult season, and saying, look how God brought us. And it wasn't just bringing us to success. I mean, we're still a band. That's success. It was seeing how he moved us through these places. We learned so much. If people could fully understand how different we are as men going through a lot of this, you'd fully understand the record more, because there's songs like Lazarus, which is my testimony from death to life. You filled me up with holy fire. Like, a lot of these songs have these moments of looking back and saying, I can't believe that you brought me from right here to right here. And again, a lot of it was after taking our eyes off of that outcome. So this record is like this combination of admiring all of the great things that God did while recognizing that you're not remotely perfect and that there's still a ways to go.
Right.
And I think the whole record is kind of like a journey from one end to the other, at least for us. And that was like part worship, part thankfulness, part desperation, part all of this stuff that we kind of put into over the last 4 years into this record. It's really the record that shouldn't have been made, because we didn't expect to make another record so fast. And so to watch it come together the way that it did was nothing short of miraculous on our end as well.
Yeah.
So we're really happy with the record. We're really excited to put it out and let people hear the songs.
Awesome, man. Well, by the time this airs, it will be out. Unstoppable God. SanctusReal.com is the website. Dude, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
The show notes for this episode are available now at MakingSundayHappen.com.
Big thanks today to my guest, Dustin Lawley, and the band Sanctus Real. It is super encouraging that the band was so open and vulnerable, and Dustin was, to share what the band has been going through over the last few years. So a special thanks to him and the band Sanctus Real for that encouragement today. This week in the mailbag, I asked lead pastors on Facebook, what is one thing that you wish creatives would understand about your role as a lead pastor? So here are some highlighted responses that I got. Greg Morgan said, as a lead pastor, understand that we don't care about relevant and cool as much as we care about the heart of the message. So the message, the word of God, then get the creative to match, not the other way around. Okay. Don White said, most of us don't want visuals to draw attention to themselves and compete with the content of the message. We want people focused on what God is saying to them and their response to him, not how cool the graphics are. We want creative elements to enhance the message, not overpower it. Okay. Phil Morgan said this, you are part of the process of our visual age, and seeing yourself as a teammate and storyteller is critical. It is more than a piece of art or element in a service. If you do your job with excellence, it should make my job easier. And if I do mine with excellence, it will make you see that. Minimize distraction to maximize attraction on the gospel. Great design is imperative to that, but it is not the gospel in and of itself. It has to be blended in with everything else. Ryan Heathcoe said, change happens and is natural. It is the nature of the church and our profession. Make designs that connect to our church's culture and make us distinctive from other churches nearby. Tell our story. Okay. Joel Morris said this, don't spend too much time on any one thing. Quality is important, but we live in a regularly changing world, and overdoing it only creates an unhealthy attraction to what's been created, making it harder to update when the time comes. And Chuck Scroggs said this: we want someone who can build the whole package, someone who will challenge us to do more creative things to reach people. We want a creative that can be a great video editor and pull off social media strategies like a boss. We want someone who understands how to get quality in a short moment because they have spent the time building their craft until they are set apart from the herd. All right, we want someone who understands the vision of reaching people in a 2020 world. Give me someone who will passionately argue why the Gotham font should be used instead of Helvetica. Give me someone who will believe that God expects our creative to be part of worship, and that's why we should care about it so much. Give me someone who understands telling a story through the creative and can reach into the heart of a person and impact their soul by the way they put the creative together with prayer, passion, and talent. That's what every church deserves. Okay? I just wanted to read a few responses from pastors to give you some perspective. And next week, I'll flip it. I'll read responses from creatives when I ask the same question. If you have a question for me or our team, you can email me or you can find me on social media, or you can text me directly. I'm going to give you my cell phone number here. 803-673-9041, 803-673-9041. You're welcome to call me or text me anytime. If I don't answer, I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. I do respond to everyone, so I would love for you to reach out to me, 803-673-9041. For show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of our show, please visit MakingSundayHappen.com. That will give you access to all of the show notes for every single episode of our show. Over 200 episodes now, almost at 220. This is episode number 218 of the show. So lots in the archives for you to discover there at MakingSundayHappen.com. Our podcast is a part of the training arm of 1230 Media, and we help you transform the worship experiences at your church through media content. That's off-the-shelf, ready-to-go content, as well as custom media. We create custom graphics and videos for any size screen. And then training, so worship media, custom media, and training. And training comes by way of our blog, our podcast, and our resources on our website. And our website is 1230.media. If you want to check us out, we would love to serve you guys there. Next week on our show, I'll be talking with Troy Pollock from PushPay, all about how to build an engaged community at your church, how to engage people in your worship experiences and beyond. Troy will join me next week on the show. I believe in you guys. You're making a difference for the kingdom. I want you to keep it up. Go out there and create some amazing worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
All right, we'll do the whole song. You ready?
Afraid to lose, I feel unqualified for what you're calling me to. Lord, with your strength, I got no excuse, 'cause broken people are exactly who you use. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Boy, and made him a king. So I'm gonna trust you and give you everything. I'll be a conqueror, 'cause you fight for me. I'll be a champion, claiming your victory. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense.
shake the wall. Won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step back when you call. Jesus, Jesus. I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the wall. Won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step back when you call. Jesus. Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants. Giants with confidence.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.